Most of the people who would benefit most from a working AI assistant are not in the room where the assistant is built. This is not an accusation. It is an observation about how the field is structured, and the consequences of that structure are not visible from inside it. Modern frontier AI is a real resource. It is also delivered to the world through a specific architecture, a small number of laboratories in a small number of cities, serving everyone through metered APIs over reliable bandwidth, billed in dollars at the standard rate. That architecture has unstated assumptions baked into it. Each assumption screens out a different population. Stacked, they leave the default product structurally mismatched to much of the world it could otherwise reach. I write from a chip company in San Diego, and I grew up in a small town in Odisha. I know the people the architecture works least well for, because they are the people I grew up around. They are not case studies. The field has interesting unfinished engineering work to do here, and the people best positioned to know what AI should do for a given population are people from that population. This post is not a call for regulation, foreign aid, or government intervention. It is a description of an architecture and of the population it leaves out in the hope that someone reads it and decides to build something. The numbers. A single LLM query is cheap to serve and getting cheaper. A 2025 measurement study covering more than 32,500 measurements across 21 GPU configurations and 155 model architectures gives a systematic basis for inference energy estimation. Independent testing on an 8H100 node running Llama 3.370B in FP8 with VLLM at batch size 128 reported roughly 0.39 joules per token, input plus output combined. Order of magnitude estimators put a typical short GPT-4o class exchange at about 0.3 to 0.43 wallers, with the caveat that these are working numbers from public data extrapolation rather than vendor disclosure. Reasoning models cost considerably more per query because they emit thousands of internal tokens before producing the visible answer. Published estimates put the multiplier at roughly 30 to 50 times, depending on workload. Training a frontier model is a separate matter, and runs into the high tens to hundreds of millions of dollars per state-of-the-art run. Training is amortized across all users. The cost that gets passed through is inference, and inference is no longer the limiting factor. The retail price of a consumer subscription has converged. ChatGPT Plus, Claude Pro, Google AI Pro, and Perplexity Pro all sit at $20 a month. Premium tiers cluster between $100 and $250. Claude Max, ChatGPT Pro, Google AI Ultra. OpenAI launched ChatGPT Go in India on the 19th of August 2025 at $399 a month, expanded it through Asia and Europe over the following months, and made it globally available on 15th of January 2026 at $8 a month, with billing on local rails such as UPI, GoPay, and Pix. Now place that against income. Table, see blog post for details. India price via the Apple iOS track. The weblist price defaults closer to equation 6.40 due to regional pricing. The web default is closer to $20. Methodology note. Income figures are nominal monthly individual earnings in the most recent year for which the cited source publishes them. Definitions and survey methodologies differ. The Indonesia row is an average rather than a median, and the Nigeria row is a Lagos metro estimate rather than a national figure. Subscription prices are list face prices in local currency at the time of writing. Some plans, Apple iOS billing, regional rollouts, promotional bundles, resolve lower in practice. PPP adjusted percentages would, in most rows here, widen the gap rather than close it. The Lagos number is the one that lingers. The median Lagos worker, by a Forbes reported survey of Lagos region employees, earns less per month than the federal minimum wage of $70,000. On the standard web price, ChatGPT Plus is more than half of that. The Indian face price gap looks smaller until you adjust for purchasing power, at which point a $13 subscription corresponds to roughly $70 to $90 US in equivalent local purchasing power, depending on whether the GDP or household consumption PPP factor is used. The architecture has noticed. ChatGPT Go at $8 lowers the floor and runs on local rails. Google's AI Plus launched in India at $399 a month with an introductory price of $199 for the first 6 months. These are real moves, and bounded ones. A $13 face price is still around 10% of Indian median monthly income, and the strongest reasoning models, the longest contexts, and the heaviest tool use remain on the $100 and $200 plans. There is one more piece of data that belongs here, which is the unit economics. Heavy users on flat rate plans cost more than they pay. Anthropic introduced weekly rate limits on its $200 max 20 tier in 2025. The standard $20 plan exists because the platform expects most subscribers to barely use it. If the median user in a tier 2 Indian town actually used it the way a Bay Area developer does, the math at the current price would not hold. A reasonable reply at this point: consumption is distributing fast, and faster than this section suggests. The World Bank reports that more than 40% of global ChatGPT traffic in mid-2025 originated in middle-income countries, led by Brazil, India, Indonesia, and Vietnam. Microsoft's AI Economy Institute estimates global generative AI adoption at 16% of world population by late 2025. The technology is reaching those users. The argument of this post is not that it is not. The argument is that what it reaches them as, at the price they can pay, in the languages they speak, on the networks they have, with the trustworthiness their work demands, on infrastructure their grids can carry, is a categorically different product from the one a Bay Area engineer is using to write code. Consumption distributes. Definitional power does not. Price, in any case, is the easiest of the exclusions to fix. The harder ones are technical. 5 exclusions. Suppose you fix price, make it free, no rate limit, the highest tier for everyone. The next problem is capability, and the gap is not the one most readers expect. Free tier base models are reasonably strong in 2026. Anthropic serves Sonnet 4.6 to free users. OpenAI's free tier runs on GPT 5.3. The free versus paid gap is now mostly about reasoning depth, usage caps, tool access, and longest context handling. The gap that matters more for the populations this post is about is multilingual. On MMLU Pro X, the best performing model scored 70.3% on English and 40.1% on Swahili, a 30-point gap on a single benchmark for a single model. Afrobench, covering 64 African languages across 15 tasks, characterizes the gap between English and African languages as large across most tasks, even on GPT 4.0 and Gemini 1.5 Pro. On Iroko Bench, the best open weight model scored only 58-63% of the closed model score on African language tasks. On Indic Gen Bench, across 29 Indic languages, Palm 2L scored 83.7 in English and 41.1 on certain Indic generation tasks. The gap is 20-40 points on the things that matter most for low-resource speakers. Suppose capability is also fixed. Assume the model speaks Hindi as well as English. Bandwidth and latency are the next wall. Median mobile download speed is roughly 29-43 megabits per second in Indonesia and 43 megabits per second in Nigeria, both numbers concealing very wide rural-urban gaps inside each country. Rural broadband penetration in India is 29.3% against 93% urban. The ITU's mobile broadband basket cost 2.74% of GNI per capita in Nigeria in 2025 against 0.68% in the US, an order of magnitude affordability difference for being connected at all. And LLM streaming over weak networks degrades disproportionately. An academic study showed that under unstable network conditions, ChatGPT's TCP-based token streaming exhibited stall ratios that a custom protocol could reduce by 71%. Because a single lost packet blocks all subsequent token rendering, even when newer token packets have already arrived. Common industry estimates put each additional second of perceived chatbot delay at roughly 7-10% more user abandonment, though the figure varies by study and is best treated as an order of magnitude rule. The product over low connectivity in rural Bihar is not a slower version of the product over fiber in San Francisco. It is a different product. Suppose bandwidth is also fixed. Trust is the next wall, and it is the most dangerous of the four, because it fails silently. A small-town lawyer in Lucknow drafting bail petitions in Hindi will get a confident answer about Indian inheritance law that sounds correct and is wrong. Hemorrhagini, 2025, evaluating GPT-4 and Claude on Indian legal practice from the National Law School of India, found the models match or exceed junior lawyers at drafting and issue spotting, but produce frequent fabrications on specialized Indian legal research. Stanford Reglab's hallucination work puts hallucination rates at 69 to 88% on specific U.S. legal queries, with subsequent work finding the rates worsen for queries about sub-Saharan African or Indic legal contexts. The Reglab paper's own warning is that legal hallucinations may have the opposite effect on the justice gap by systematically disadvantaging those who need the most help. The lawyer in Lucknow is exactly the user the warning is about. So is the community health worker in rural Sulawesi answering questions about postnatal care, and the municipal clerk in Lagos digitizing decades of land records. None of them has a way to know that a confidently stated answer is wrong. Rest of World tested GPT 3.5 in Tigrinya and Amharic in 2023 and got back gibberish. Their February 2026 retrospective confirms Bengali, Swahili, Urdu, and Thai are still where the model breaks. Suppose all four are fixed. Energy is the last wall, and it is where the architecture itself fails, not just the user-side experience. A hyperscale data center campus draws hundreds of megawatts. The U.S. hosts roughly 5,427 data centers, more than 10 times any other country, and accounts for about half of all hyperscale capacity worldwide. McKinsey's 2030 outlook projects 156 to 219 gigawatts of global data center capacity, against roughly 47 gigawatts today, with about 70% of new demand AI-driven, a projection, not a measurement. In Virginia, data centers already consume around 26% of state electricity. In Ireland, the Central Statistics Office reported that data centers accounted for 22% of all metered electricity in 2024, up from 5% in 2015, with EirGrid forecasting roughly 30% by 2032. Hyperscalers go where there is cheap, reliable power, abundant water for cooling, and stable politics. Northern Virginia, Iowa, the Nordics, now Riyadh. They do not go to Lagos, where the national grid collapsed 9 times in 2024, where the average household receives roughly 4 hours of power a day, and where 96% of industrial electricity comes from private generators. The Lagos clerk is not waiting for ChatGPT to be cheaper. He is waiting for the lights. In one Prayas Energy Group monitoring window, rural Uttar Pradesh averaged 9 hours of daily outages, while the official figure put the shortfall under 1%. The gap between what the grid is reported to be doing and what it actually does is itself part of the architecture. As long as inference happens on a Virginia campus, the user in Sulawesi pays for the geography in latency, in reliability, in trust they should have but cannot. By the time you reach the last wall, no patch on the existing architecture solves the underlying problem. The view from inside. I started a PhD in 2018, before GPT-2. The lab I joined did energy harvesting sensors, intermittent computing, and computational storage. The systems engineering of doing useful machine work at the edge of the network, on devices that may or may not be powered, on memories that lose state when the battery runs out. The questions we worked on were small and pragmatic. How do you train a neural network on a microcontroller that goes dark every 12 seconds? How do you do continuous learning on a solar-powered server in a field with intermittent connectivity without losing weeks of data on a power outage? The papers I am most proud of, Nexium on intermittency-aware DNN training, Salient Store on computational storage for continuous learning, USAS on battery-free continuous learning on solar-powered edge servers, all live inside this set of constraints. Over the 7 years of the PhD, the field center of gravity moved. The interesting question stopped being, how do we make ML fit on tiny devices, and became, how do we spend $100 million on a training run? This is not a complaint. The scaling bet was a real bet, and it paid off. The resulting models do things small models do not. But the field also made a choice about where to put its attention. The systems work that would have mattered most for accessibility, energy harvesting, intermittent and federated learning, on-device inference, computational storage, the entire toolkit for doing useful work without a data center behind you, got proportionally less attention as the rest of the field scaled, not zero. The work continued and continues, but the talent and the funding and the prestige flowed elsewhere. The consequence is that the delivery architecture of modern AI was built on an assumption of abundance: abundant electricity, abundant cooling water, abundant bandwidth, abundant compute, abundant English text, abundant capital. None of those assumptions hold in most of the places where this technology would matter most. Most of the world does not live in that architecture, and the architecture was not designed for it. This is a real resource. The question is how it gets to more people, and the answer is not just cheaper subscriptions. I do not think this is anyone's fault. The Frontier Labs built something real in the constraints they had, but the labs are not best positioned to fix the distribution. The work that needs to happen next is closer to the constraints than to the frontier. It is systems work, and most of it is uncached. What the room does not know. An engineer in San Francisco does not have ground truth on what AI should do for the lawyer in Lucknow drafting bail petitions in Hindi. She does not know what the failure modes look like for the health worker in rural Sulawesi, answering questions about postnatal care from a phone with two bars of signal, or for the clerk in Lagos digitizing decades of land records under a 4-hour power schedule. This is not a moral failing of the engineer. It is a property of geography and life experience. The knowledge required to build for these users does not exist in the room where the model is trained, and it cannot be acquired by querying a focus group. The implication is uncomfortable, but not radical. The work of figuring out what AI should do for a given population is local work. It belongs to people who live in the places they are building for. AI Forbharat at IIT Madras is doing it for 22 Indian languages, with a dataset of 12,000 hours of speech from over 20,000 speakers across more than 200 districts. Masakane is doing it across the African continent through a network of more than 2,000 researchers. Lalapa AI in Johannesburg has shipped a 0.4 billion parameter model called IncubeLM for 5 major African languages, on the explicit reasoning that more than 70% of African smartphone users are on entry-level devices and heavy compute-intensive models will not run there. Sea Lion at AI Singapore covers 11 Southeast Asian languages. Karya in Bengaluru has built a data collection model that pays workers around $5 an hour and routes royalties on resale back to them. Cohere for AI's Aya covers 101 languages. These are not adjacent to the frontier AI story. They are the part of the story the frontier cannot do. Close. The argument of this post is only worth making if there is work to do. There is. The next post asks what a solar-powered local AI appliance would actually look like in numbers. Power budget, storage budget, model sizes that fit, the workloads it can serve, what the device can and cannot honestly do. After that, posts on small models for narrow tasks, CPU-friendly inference, low-cost retrieval pipelines, edge deployment for local languages, and energy-aware serving. Build logs of things that work and things that do not. Paper reads through a systems lens in the corner of the literature where the real work is happening, mostly without much attention. I do not have a thesis for this blog beyond the one I have already given. This is a real resource. The architecture by which it reaches the world is mismatched to most of its users. The engineering work to fix that is interesting and largely undone. The work that needs to happen next is closer to the constraints than to the frontier.